I hope you understand what the songs were all about this morning. I'm going to teach We Are in a War. And they were talking about war. And then we went into how Jesus is worthy of all things. The body of Christ is going to go through some things. But I hope you listen to the words of the first couple songs that were sung. And understand that no matter what you're going to, what do you say? I might bend, but I won't break. No matter what, you're going to get back up again and you're going to go forth. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for all those that came out that sit in your house tonight, sit at your table, and be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, for their faithfulness to you. I thank you, Father, that your holy angelic host is here this morning to meet each and every need. And Father, let a special blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob drop upon your people this morning. And let them go forth, Father, stronger than when they came, with revelation knowledge straight from the throne of grace. And Father, I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. This morning, I just want to... I looked at an article the other day that really blew my mind. I titled it Spiritual Warfare in the Heavenlies. But it was a young lady who said, her and her husband pastored a 10,000-member church, a mega church. And then she quit God. And that's what caught my eye, was the fact she quit God. But she said, I quit God because I pastored a 10,000-member mega church. Somebody might have seen that article. But as I listened to it, they were both radically saved, her and her husband, just so on fire for God, and had this big church. And, the church gave them a brand new home, kept the home, paid all the bills, and gave them a brand new car, gave them their salary every month. And so, they didn't have anything to worry about whatsoever. But they went overseas and looked at the concentration camp and the big oven things that they killed the Jews in and everything, and they came back and gave God up because they said, how could a loving, merciful God let that happen? First the husband became an atheist, and then she finally became an atheist too, and she said she just enjoys life the way it is. She doesn't have to worry about nothing. They just have a nice, happy family and everything, and all is well. And she's hoping that others find out that if you go the way they did, then you'll be happier. Well, we're all in a war. We're all in a battle. God tells us right up front, the Christian, if you receive him, you're going to suffer. And so I don't know what people are looking for, but it's not a bed of roses like I thought it was going to be. It's warfare. Constant, everyday warfare. A couple years ago, God gave me Revelation 12:12. It says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. That was Revelation 12:12. God gave me that a couple years ago. And as I was putting this together, I was thinking, God always tells you something, and then it's not happening right then, but it starts happening, and it increases and increases. And right now, it has increased since he told me that. But we all know it's going to get worse and not better. But even though it gets worse and not better, just like God said this morning, we don't have any enemies, and so he wants us to continually rejoice. And as you read the scriptures, even though you're fighting a battle, you still rejoice and go forth so that you can stand on the enemy's head and defeat him instead of him defeating you. I know that things used to be good, but that's what used to be. We don't live in the used to be. We live in the today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, whatever those days bring. So I want you to get your head out of the sand this morning. And I want you to understand that you're going to have to war from today on if you have not been warring. And in that war, you still go forth. I don't care what comes your way, you still go forth. God said there is, this is what God told me, this is why I put this together. God said there is soon going to be a war in the heavenlies against good and evil. And we have, and then he says, we have now entered into a new reality of warfare. The body of Christ has now entered into a new reality of warfare. The heavens as well as the earth are now in a new dimension of conflict. Nations are in conflict. Generations are in conflict. Israel is in conflict. Warfare can and does create great emotional upheaval. Warfare can produce fear. And that's what I like that one song about fear, you know, that we sang, they sang up there. War causes our will to make choices. Look at some of the things going on around about us. All right, so war causes our will to make choices. Isn't it whenever you're in warfare that you start meditating on what's going on, and at that point you have to make choices of which way you're going to go, right? Look at some of the things going on around about us. Number one, Judge Brett Kavanaugh was sworn in as an Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court by Chief Justice John Roberts. I got this off the news. With the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, the battle has begun, is what this writer in the news said. It is a war that new laws cannot stop, a war that Congress cannot thwart, a war that neither the President nor the Supreme Court can end. The war has fully arrived, and it is here to stay for the foreseeable future. And this is what the article said. And this is the truth. I am speaking about a culture war, a war between radical progressives and staunch conservatives. It is a war between the shout your abortion camp and the choose life camp. A war between extreme feminists and the traditional family. A war between LGBT activists and Bible-based definitions of gender and sexuality. That's what that first thing said. Number two, I read where the Ark of Baal was erected in D.C. the day before Brett Kavanaugh testified to Congress. And the story went on to say it was the devil's highway right into the Capitol. And number three, witches plan to place a public hex on Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh through an occult ritual on October the 20th in New York City. So, you know, those are the three of the biggest things that have just gone on. And if you look around the world of all the upheaval that's going on with the hurricanes and the floodings and everything else that's going on, it's absolutely terrible. And they've been saying the last couple of days that the people in Florida are now running out of water and food, as well as no electricity. So it's becoming very, very bad there. Then you read about the mudslides. And I was reading early this morning where in Switzerland, and that the wind is so bad there that it's causing the waterfalls to go upward. And it had a picture of it. The waterfall is going up instead of coming down. So, you know, these are just all supernatural signs of what is going on in the world. Daniel 10. Let's read Daniel 10, verses 1 through 21. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. See that? How many times has God told us something that's true, but it doesn't come until an appointed time? And Daniel understood the message and had understanding of the vision. And Daniel says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girt with gold of Euphrates. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in Keller, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision. I just think that's so awesome every time I read that. How there are people around about him, but only Daniel saw the vision. And that's happening in the body of Christ, isn't it? Not everybody's seeing the vision that God's showing. Just a select few, the remnant, is seeing the vision, and the rest are just going about their little life each and every day, not knowing that they are utterly lost. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw the great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Now let's read verse 12 again. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. So if you guys are praying and you haven't received your answer, God is working on that answer, and it is on the way. And look at verse 13. He said, But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So for 21 days, he was fighting the demonic realm to get the answer to Daniel. So just as it's going on in Daniel's days, it's going on today. Satan is fighting to keep your answer coming to you, because he knows if you don't get your answer, you're going to quit. Your answer is on the way. You will get your answer. So just be still. It's one song that she's saying, I will be still, you know. And that's why I played that song, because we need to learn to be still and wait for God to do whatever he's going to do. And verse 14 says, Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. See, he was sent to him so he could see what was going to happen in the world. God has raised up prophets all across the land that he's given dreams and visions to, so that they know what's going to happen. Just read all the prophetic words about President Donald Trump and everything else that's going on. God showed that to people 4 or 5 years before it ever happened, and then it happened. And verse 15 said, When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him, Who stood before me, my Lord? Because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. Is anybody in here you sit and cry? You don't know why you're crying. You just cry. And I really feel this is what's going on with us. We are having an encounter with God, and he's just, all of our strength has left us, and all we can do is weep before the Lord. And verse 18, Then again the one having the likeness of man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And you know, this is what God wants to do to the body of Christ today. He wants to touch you, and he wants to strengthen you so that you can go forth and do the mighty works that he's called you forth to do, no matter what's going on around about you. Are you listening? And if you're like me and others, all hell has broken loose around about you. And sometimes you just think you can't go on another second. But you know, your Father's looking down upon you, and he is touching you, and he is strengthening you to go on and do the works he's calling you forth to do. And verse 20, Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. So this angel was fighting all the demons in hell. You are going to fight all the demons of hell. during this time of warfare that's going on. And the warfare is not going to quit. The warfare is going to continue, and it's even going to increase. So you have to determine in your heart today that you are going to be strengthened in the Lord, and that you are going to stand strong and stand firm no matter what the enemy sends your way. And I'm going to tell you right now, only the true Christians are being fought this way. If you're just going to church and warming a seat, you're not being fought like other the true Christians are being fought. So if I was you, I would rejoice in that. That the enemy, that I'm so close to God, that the enemy's trying to take me out, and he's using every weapon he has to do that. Are you listening here? Don't moan and groan about it. Don't want to quit God about it. Just thank God that you're standing that close to God, and he's strengthening you to go forth. What he was saying here in the last verse, he said, but I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one opposed me against these except Michael, your prince. Only one person fought with him, is what he's saying. Well, there were angels, but only one. Isn't that what it just said? So, you know, you might just have one friend. You might not have any friends standing in your corner with you, but God is always there with you. Because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Somebody wrote in for a prayer request, and I didn't know the person. Sister Nancy transferred it to me. And so I just thought, well, I'm just going to write her and let her know we're praying for her. And all of a sudden, God just gave her a prophetic word. You know, and it was a beautiful prophetic word. It was really uplifting and encouraging. But see, if I hadn't thought to do that, she never got that word. Do you understand this? So, you know, we need to be concerned about, I don't know who she is. She's not part of this body of Christ, but it doesn't matter who she is. She's still a soul that needs ministered to. Spiritual warfare is something that exists and goes on daily, whether you see it or not, whether you believe it or not. Spiritual warfare is something that exists and goes on daily, whether you see it or not, whether you believe it or not. Right here, we see that our war is not with other people, not even in non-believers or Satanists. Our war is with a spirit that works within them. Second, we see that our weapons are divinely powerful enough to destroy fortresses, strongholds of Satan, destroy speculations, which is things people of disbelief propose in opposition to God. You know, people come to you and try to make you believe that you don't believe what you believe. All right? And destroy things lifted against the knowledge of God, which is false ideas about God's existence, and science that is twisted to oppose God. There, if you're really walking with God, there's going to always be somebody in your face trying to tell you that what you're doing is not right. You will always have that. They'll always say you're a fool. But you have to believe what you believe and stand on what you believe, and don't give in to it. To the doubt and unbelief that people bring to you. Thirdly, we see here that sometimes the biggest spiritual battle is in our mind, the voice of evil speaking to us. But God has given us a sword of the Spirit to take every thought captive and fight against disobedience. And I really believe that this is why God has brought out the books on the mind, because he knows that right now the enemy is working overtime on the body's minds. And he wants to encourage us and to let us know that our mind is not in control, but the Spirit of God is. It dwells within us. Amen. Next is Jude 1:9. Yet Michael, the archangel, is in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. See, it says, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Even Michael couldn't come against the devil. You see this? Though brief, this passage highlights that there was an argument between Michael and the archangel and the devil about doing something. We don't know what it was with the body of Moses. I couldn't find out what it was, all right? Though Michael is a powerful war angel of authority, he didn't confront the devil head on. Rather, he called upon the Lord to rebuke him. So what I'm saying here is, don't think you're that powerful that you can take the devil on alone. You need God by your side. And you need to make sure that you are covered by the blood. Amen. Next is Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And then God goes on to say, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And then look what he says. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. He knew that his faith was going to fail him, that Peter's faith was going to fail him. And that's whenever God says you need to return to your first love, because your faith has failed you and you've done something dumb. And God's saying to you, you've been sifted. But through the sifting process, it got so bad that you did something dumb. And now God is saying, come back. Return back to your first love. And then when you do, then what he says, strengthen your brethren. If we've done something dumb during our sifting stage or during our winter months, don't stay there. Pull yourself back up again and return back to your first love. And then go on and encourage your brothers and sisters. Don't tell them how much they're going to die in their winter months. Tell them God will see them through their winter months. That's what God told me. He said, don't die in your winter months, daughter, because spring is coming. And I'm with you to uphold you. And I didn't understand that statement then, but as I started through it and started studying it and God started revealing things to me, I knew what he was saying. You're going to go through some times or just going to take your life from you. But he said, you won't die. You won't die. Maybe some of you sitting in here this morning, you've gone through some really rough times or you just say, God, I'd just soon die as go through this. But you didn't die. You didn't die because God has a work for you to do. And you need to encourage, when you see your brothers and sisters down and out, don't walk on them. Encourage them and pull them up and just tell them to go forth because they can do it. We can all do it together. All right, next is Luke 22:30. Oh, we read that. I'm sorry. And then we go to Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Now who's the sons of God? It's the angels, right? And it says, to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. He was right on up there in the face of God. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? Who did God bring before Satan's face? A righteous man. Not a sinner, but a righteous man. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Satan goes on to say, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Here we see Satan has access to the heavenlies to attack us, lie about us, and get permission to sift us like wheat. Come on. When God said Satan, he told me, the daughter Satan's asked you to sift you as wheat. But be strong. Be strong. I really believe, well, God did tell me a year ago, that the body of Christ is going through a Job experience. And so, guys, you know, if you read what Job went through, he lost everything, was really sick, but he didn't leave God. He still trusted God. And through it all, at the very end, he had more than when he first went into this sifting thing. Are you understanding this? So if you're losing everything, and everything's going wrong, you're just in the sifting process with Satan. I want you to hold on tight. And I want you to know that you can make it through this thing. That you're not going under, you're going over. And the enemy's trying to make you believe that you're going under. And if you look at your circumstances, you would say amen to that. But that's why God says, don't look at your circumstances. Look to the promises that he has given you and let him work on your behalf. All right, I said, here we see that Satan has access to the heavenlies to attack us, lie about us, and get permission to sift us like wheat. But the good news is that he is limited in his activities, because God is all-powerful and will not let us be tempted beyond what we can endure. So anyhow, I said, but the good news is that he is limited. So what God told me was, and what he told Job was, you can do everything but kill him. So he can touch a whole lot of stuff, can't he? But he can't put you in a coffin. Amen? Come on. So you have to determine your heart now. I am not going to the coffin. You can sift me all you want to sift me, but my God knows that I can stand this sifting, or he wouldn't allow me to go through it. And also, God has a perfect work for me to do, a stronger work for me to do. And so he's let me go through this sifting to bring out the good character of Christ in me. All right? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. All that Satan does is under the watchful eye of our Lord and Savior. You know, I'm fasting, and I don't really want to brag about, but I just want to tell you something here because of this. And my daughter took the children to Chuck E. Cheese's yesterday for their birthday, and she brought back pizza, set it on my desk, and she said, here, I couldn't eat all this. It smelled so good. And so I picked up and put it in the microwave, you know, and then my daughter came into the room, and I said, God said to me, remove the temptation, is what he said. When I put it in the microwave, he said, remove the temptation. So I was going to take it downstairs, but my daughter came in there. I said, here, take this real quick. And, you know, I really wanted that pizza, really wanted that. But after it was removed, you know, all desire for anything left me totally and completely. I felt perfect peace. But he said, what did the scripture say? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So he made the ways that you get rid of it, the temptation. So that's what you guys have to do. You have to get rid of the temptation, you know. Just get it totally out of your sight. I don't care what it is, because God has made the way. Let's look at one last passage here. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and the body of Christ has still not gotten that down into their spirit. You know, instead of when somebody comes against you, you immediately strike back at them, and it's not them that's doing what they're doing. It's the spirit in them that's fighting you. So you need to take control of that spirit that's in them and quit fighting the person. I tell my people in my house all the time, it's not them, it's the devil in them. Get the devil out of them, and through prayer, fasting, bleeding the blood, whatever you have to do. And then you won't have this problem. But as long as you're fighting the flesh and the blood, the problem's going to get worse. Right? Here we are encouraged to put on the spiritual armor of God to fight against the schemes of the devil, not the flesh and blood. Here we are encouraged to put on the spiritual armor of God. Once again, we see that our struggle is not against others, but against powers, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, if you are a covenant believer, submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, this war is affecting you in your daily life in some way. And don't tell me it isn't. Amen. You are probably sensing some warfare in your personal life and sphere. And if you're like me, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And you have to pray and pray and pray and plead the blood of Jesus and keep reminding yourself it's not the flesh, it's the spirit that I'm dealing with here. All right? But then, all right, so you have to do all that, but then you have to also be victorious in doing all that. You have to not fight the person. You have to come against the enemy that's causing them to do what they're doing. So why do we have to war if the work of the cross defeated all powers and principalities? I have to stop and tell you this to you. My grandson came in your room yesterday, and those cheese sticks. Well, anyhow, he had dip and cheese, those cheese things. And he said, "Here, Mama." And I said, "What?" And he said, "This is really good. You ought to try it. He got some new kind of dip, you know." I said, "Honey, no, I can't do that." And I said, he didn't know I was fasting. And he said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, honey, because I'm fasting." He said, "Oh, are you really? You don't want these?" I said, "No, I really don't want those." And he knows it's my favorite food. That's why he cooked it for me, you know. So he said, "Well, how long is this going to go on?" And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll keep you some over there, and when you're done, I'll cook them for you. If you want to come and smell them every now and then, you can." Then he says, "Can't you just dip your finger in the sauce and just taste the sauce?" He was grinning as he was doing this because he knows what I do when I fast. But, you know, that's just how the devil kept tempting. You know, the devil wasn't going to give up yesterday. That's what I'm saying. It's a constant battle, you know. A kingdom by force to be enforced. All right, I said, so why do we have to war if the work of the cross defeated all powers and principalities? A kingdom by force to be enforced. When Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave, he broke the headship of Satan in the earth. He ascended, gave us gifts, and then called us to enforce this victory. Now we must enforce. All right? To enforce is to compel obedience to obtain by force or compulsion, or impose a course of action on a person or entity, in this case, Satan, the one who opposes us. Jesus said in Matthew, what did I say? We have to enforce what God put up, all right? Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, "Surely I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Do you know how long we've been in this warfare? We've been in this warfare for, I know, at least 50 years, and I don't know how long after that, because I've been into this 30 or 40 years, something like that. But it's been going on, but it's increasing. The warfare is increasing day by day by day. We're no longer fighting the little demons in hell, but we're fighting the strong principalities in hell. And that's why we have to fight so hard, because Satan, his little demons, couldn't do the work. So he had to send out his great elite force that he has trained to destroy God's children. From the days of John till now, John started opening up in earth a new realm of aligned conflict when he came on the scene that would bring forth the Messiah. Jesus and his disciples had to take what John had accomplished and use a new dimension of power to take the movement to a new level. We are taking this movement to a new level in this dispensation that we just started in. All right, this is another new 40-year dispensation that we're in. Jesus even connected into John's baptism, but then received a new baptism by going into the wilderness. Jesus' disciples would then baptize their followers into this new baptism. In Matthew 11, this passage on force has a dual meaning. The question in this passage is, who will win this enforcing battle concerning the kingdom of God? Jesus explains that one form of religion would attempt to produce a force to stop the next manifestation of the kingdom of heaven in the earth. On the other hand, those representing the new movement, which is the remnant right now, would have to use power to advance the kingdom against the religious and civil government. You know, we as the remnant, there's a remnant all over the earth. God is using us to bring spirit into the body of Christ. He is using us to go and proclaim the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And he is using us to say that all religion is dead. It is now spirit calling to spirit. That is our job. We cannot go places where other Christians are gathering and let them believe that they're okay. We have to let the Holy Spirit in a loving way explain that the atmosphere has changed. The warfare is different. And we have to get out of religion. And we have to get out of lethargy. And we have to get into the battle. Amen. No matter what it takes, we have to get into the battle. The war of the kingdom would be denial versus reality, stumbling versus standing, law versus grace, teaching versus revelation, soft religion versus kingdom power. When God put President Donald Trump into office, it stirred up the biggest hornet nest you ever wanted to get into. But this is what God is doing. He's changing the White House, and he's using the president to do it. We need to choose soft religion or kingdom power. That's up to you. If you want to be just a religious person, fine. But what we have to choose is the religion or kingdom power. Matthew 11:16, Jesus says, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." You cannot walk in offense. I read an article the other day that said, "Are you going to allow offense to kill you?" And then he went on to say how many, many people will get offended at every little thing. And next thing they know, they're spiritually dead and forgotten. Nobody wants to be around a person who walks in offense. They just really don't. When I was first born again, you know, I just left my offense just run out of me like water. And finally, one day, God said to me, "Nobody likes you because of you always being offended at everything." He said, "You need to get out of offense right now." And this was I was offended at what people did, you know, one person did to me, you know, before, when what people were doing to me now. I was kept going back to what happened to me. And God said, "You have to let it go, or you won't be any good to me." You see this? All right, Matthew 11:16, Jesus says, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." In other words, is there something that would hinder you personally from continuing to perceive and advance the kingdom of God? See, that's what God was telling me. You know, this thing that you went through is stopping you from going any further with me. In soft religion, if any issue threatens their present thinking, religious conscience, and comfortable form of worship, then they shrink back or actually attempt to enforce present boundaries rather than enlarging their territory to receive the new release of God's presence. They stumble rather than embrace the accompanying change in their atmosphere. And soft religion embraces what will allow credibility from the world, but rejects new power that makes a person uncommon from surrounding familiar relationships, family, and norms. You know, soft religion doesn't want their life changed. They want to stay just like they are. And you agree with everything I say, or I'm going to get upset with you. That's soft religion. That is not God. There were many that accepted John's leadership, his message, and the baptism he offered linked with repentance. However, the same ones, including some of John's followers, fully rejected the new wineskin and set themselves to be a stumbling block to Jesus' movement. Even in John the Baptist, that happened. This would become a pattern from generation to generation. Each generation would have to choose to use a kingdom force of love and power that comes from Jesus to advance his kingdom. You guys, you have to. Now, God told me last night you guys have graduated. And I saw him put diplomas in your hand and a little cap on your head. And I sat and I cried. This is why this touched me this morning. You know, and I was really excited. You're the first group that graduated. Everybody else failed and left. They just dropped out of school. But you're my first graduation group, and I'm just so excited about that. I really am. All right, this is the remnant that is now arising to war and triumph today. You are the remnant that has risen up, and you're gonna fight in that war, and you're gonna win the battle. Amen. The remnant's covenant war. The remnant group will always go before the whole, the whole Bible, with a mission and heart to see the good news of the gospel shared, demonstrated, and embraced. This group will operate out of both the Old and the New Testament. This group would allow the government of the kingdom to form within them. This is a movement that will fully advance and impact their culture. Aren't you guys excited that you've done that, you know? Come on. In every generation, there is a group that has to choose to war for God's covenant. In Judges 3, 1 and 2 says, now these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them. Now let's read that again. Now these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. Let's stop there. God always puts somebody around you to test you, to see how you're going to react. Always, always, always. How many of you failed the test? You know, more than one time. All right. Verse 2, this is only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly know it. So when God leaves an enemy behind, he's teaching you to war. But to war in the right way and not in the wrong way. To war for victory and not to destroy the vessel that he's left around to cause you to go to war. You understanding this? A covenant war always includes embracing the root of the covenant and warring for the fruit of the covenant. I know this is sort of deep today, but God, since you graduated, now God is getting, he has you prepared now to go out there and do battle. And with this teaching this morning and this evening that I'm going to do, it's all about you guys going higher than what you've already been. And he wants you to know that you are in a battle. And now since you graduated, now the devil really has a big bullseye on your back. And now he's really going to come after you. Abraham's blessings included a territory or boundaries, multiplication, generational inheritance, wealth and provision, and a sphere of authority and rule. So that's what you have. You're under Abraham's blessing. Your wars are linked with the same blessings that Abraham was given by the Lord. The time and rules of the war. There is a time for war, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There are rules or laws of war, Deuteronomy 20. There is a commitment and choice to war in Luke 1. There is a garment for war, and that garment is what? Praise. There is a stand that we must take in war, and that's Ephesians 6. There is an age-long warfare, that's Revelations 12. There is a triumph people who must choose today to enforce kingdom principles on earth. There is a triumph people, that you graduates, who must choose today to enforce kingdom principles on earth. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 14:25, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, oh, see it, begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Do you understand? Let's stop there. Do you understand that if God has started to work in you, or I will say Sister Barbara there, if God has started to work in you, everybody is standing around watching you to fail. They're not watching you to succeed. They're watching to see you fail. You have to understand this. Everybody, because you're so strong in the Lord, you know, in other words, God has really raised you up. Everybody's watching you. The people said about me, one of these days, them doors are going to close. She's not going to make it. And now they're saying, I don't understand how she has made it this far. See, nobody was warring for me. They were warring against me, just knowing and waiting for the day that the doors would close. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So many have not counted the cost. I didn't. Here I am, Lord, use me, use me, use me. And then I said, what is going on? He said, this is what goes along when you say, here I am, use me. I heard you. You know, you weren't expecting all this battle, were you? You weren't expecting your friends to come against you and lie about you. And you weren't expecting that, were you? Because after all, we're all in the body of Christ. We're all full of Jesus Christ. We're all love sponges. Everybody's going to love everybody and everything's going to be wonderful. And you got into the house of God and you found out that's just the opposite. I'm telling you, isn't that the way it goes? Yeah. How to make a wise choice in your war. The above passage gives us a list of questions that we just read to ponder in the now. Take an inventory of your call to war at this time and know your border. It's your war. Every one of us, our wars are individual wars. You can't fight my war. I can't fight your war because we all have different assignments from God. Ask these questions. What is my sphere or boundaries? Is this warfare inside my boundaries? Am I willing to war in those boundaries? Do I go to war or stand and wait? You need to understand that timing is key. Am I willing to war in these boundaries? What is my responsibility in the war? How does this warfare affect my inheritance or portion? Talking about the kingdom of heaven. Am I willing to war for my present inheritance or a new added portion? Are you really ready to go to war is what he's asking you. You know, are you still out there on the sidelines still licking your old wounds? You cannot have old wounds, and you can't be. If you do, you can't be out there licking them. You have to be defeating them. You have to be getting them under the blood. You have to be getting them ripped right out of you. All right? I mean, I don't know if I did it right or not, but I just, this morning, I felt like a soul tied to two people. And I just said, God, I just take a pair of scissors and I cut that cord, that soul tie. I didn't know how else to pray, so that's what I did. And I said, I set myself totally and absolutely, completely free from those three people. I just took the scissors and cut the cord. Did I do okay? Would that work? Okay. Then I covered myself with the blood of Jesus. Because certain things were keep going on. I said, God, I shouldn't be going through this kind of stuff. And then it just came to me when I was showering, a soul tie. And so that's what I did. So see, if you're really seeking God's face, if you really want yourself set free, you will ask God how to do it. Or you'll be saying, God, I need you to speak to me. And then just have your little ears open for God's voice, not all the gossip voices, so you can hear God speak to you and tell you what you need to do. All right? Don't expect somebody else to do all the work for you. You have to do your portion. This is a war that you're in. Soul ties are war ties. Amen? All right, what responsibilities do I have that could clutter my decisions in my present warfare? Is it children, a job, debts, parents, ministry? What is it? Do these responsibilities usurp the voice of God in my life? What emotions are ruling me? Does any emotional alignment in my life stop me from hearing the voice of God, a spouse, a child, a friend, a co-worker? Does any emotional alignment in my life stop me from hearing the voice of God? It could be a spouse, a child, a friend, a co-worker. It could be anybody or anything. Some of you in here, you have a child. That's all you hear is that name, that over and over and over and over again. See, that's an emotional alignment in your life that's trying to stop you from going forth. Because all you can think about is that child. Are you understanding this? Am I ruled by fear? Am I decisive or double-minded over every situation? You know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, is what my word tells me. And I can't quite deal with double-minded people. I said, God, more grace. Give me more grace, because I really can't deal with double-minded people. Either it is or it isn't, right? Either it's black or white, right? You know, there's no middle ground there. Do I know my role? That's how I feel. So, you know, I just confess my little thing I've got going here. Do I know my role in the kingdom? Do you know that you know that you know that what God has called you to do? All right, how am I serving? You know, like, say, let's just talk about your deliverance minister. How are you serving in that? Are you serving the people when they have a need or just when you feel like serving them? You know, you have to ask yourselves these questions. Are you as an intercessor, are you interceding all the time or just when you feel like it? I don't feel like interceding tonight, so I'm just going to stay home from prayer meeting. I'm not going to go. They can just do their own thing themselves. They know how to pray. See, that's not the right attitude. Their attitude is, I'm an intercessor. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm going to go and I'm going to be an intercessor. All right? I know the personal things come up, like a dying mother or something. So, you know, let's just put this, get this thing right. How am I serving? Am I communing with the body or walking independently? If you're not a team worker player, God can't use you. If you're not a team player, God cannot use you. You cannot walk independently in God's kingdom. Am I advancing or am I stumbling? What issue has made me stumble or would make me stumble? Are you thinking about these things? Because you have to think about these things, so this is what you're going to be warring against. To conclude, this is a season of war. I am sure you are experiencing some sort of conflict in your life. The boundaries of your war are changing. In other words, God gets one thing cleared up, here comes another war, you know. And then he gets that, here comes another war. You can't even hardly breathe at times. You can't even say, you know, before you have another war on your shoulders, right? All right, this is a season of war. I'm sure you're experiencing some sort of conflict in your life. It could even be sickness. The boundaries of your war are changing. Jesus tells us to be shrewder than our enemy. He also says that he does nothing without first telling his prophets. Therefore, not knowing is not reality. Get your head out of the sand. Reality is linked with true worship in spirit and truth. I personally would rather live in the reality of his presence than in denial. I know I'm in a battle, and I accept that battle, and I fight it. All right? What do you do with it? Act like it doesn't exist? Stick your head in the sand and go on? Can't do that no more. Therefore, understanding the reality of the war around you is important as to whether you triumph or experience defeat. Don't say, oh, God, don't tell me I'm going to have another battle. I don't want to hear that. Well, then you were just defeated. Take each day as it comes. Fight each battle that comes your way. And go on to the next one. War is rising in the land, and this is a kingdom war. A time to war, the next season of covenant contending. Some are asking, why does war have to become part of our future thought process? Some have said, I would rather not know the war ahead. And this is what people say. I want to live a peaceful life as long as I am on earth. That's not going to happen. I don't care if you're saved or not saved. It's just not going to happen. We all want to live a peaceful life, but in reality, there is conflict. How many of you said, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have never thought I'd ever live like I'm living now, going through what I'm going through now, right? You know, you were a different person then, and the wars kept coming and coming, and now you're a different person because of the wars. But I hope you're a stronger, different person. I hope your character has grown. I hope that you became stabilized in the wars. We all want to live a peaceful life, but in reality, there is conflict. Will you choose to triumph in your conflict? Will you join the Lord in the battle around you? God is raising up a triumph people. I choose to believe that you are one of those. Do you choose to believe that you are one of those? You know, you have to even, I don't care if I choose or not, you have to choose it. Father, I thank you for this teaching today, and I know it fell on the hearts that were open to receive. And Father God, I cover this seed with the blood of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for every soul that's here today. I thank you for Astrid's mother who came here across the sea. And Father God, I thank you that you're doing great and mighty miracles amongst your people, even as they sit in your presence. And now, my children, I say unto you this hour, I am going to give you strength to fight the battles that you're going to face in the days ahead, for the battles are going to be raging around about. You will not be defeated, but you will be more than conquerors in Christ. You will come forth with a mighty sword in your hand, praise on your lips, and a dance in your feet. And I tell you this morning, children, that you truly will be overcomers in all, every battle and all things that come your way from this moment forth. I am speaking the truth into your ears. I am speaking my words into your life. And I am telling you that the enemy is under your feet and not on your head. And I am telling you he's already defeated and you're already victorious. Now go with me in my might and in my power and in my strength and complete the mighty works I'm sending you forth to do.